Fights to conquer.
What? We're calling it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Round Table on 95.7 The Game.
On the right wing, in and out dribble between the legs. Offer step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Dana.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I very nice.
And the Saint, Gary St. Jean.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome you to Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. Kevin Dan alongside Gary St. Jean reminding you that the Warriors 2024-25 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. And like last week, later on in the show, we will be giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors game when we will take the seventh caller at 415-523-4652. That's later on in the show. If you want to talk Dubs with Saint and I, that's 888-957-9570. And, well, Gary, for the first time this season, the Warriors have hit some turbulence, a two-game losing streak. Blew a 17-point third-quarter lead to San Antonio on Saturday, and even more concerning, last night's 18-point lead to the wayside at home against the Brooklyn Nets.
Well, welcome to the wonderful world of the NBA. Just when you think you got all the answers, now you got some questions, and this inevitably happens, more so maybe on the road, maybe when you're playing tougher teams, but it does happen, and it's the bounce of the ball, Kev. You know, I know we're going to talk about the turnovers, and we're going to talk about live ball turnovers versus dead ball turnovers, and I just thought there was a lot of situations where it just didn't bounce the right way.
All right, so just didn't bounce the right way. You didn't think that – is that an – I'm not saying you're saying it's an excuse for anything, but you thought it just came down to, hey, some unlucky bounces for Golden State?
Well, you had a couple teams there that are kind of young and trying to find themselves, and I always talk about my friend Mr. Mo, Mr. Momentum, yep. And those teams – the Warriors had chances to put knockout punches on both teams, and they gave them a sniff. And they knocked down a couple shots, and the next thing you know, they're saying to themselves during a timeout, hey, we got these guys. They're on their heels. We can come back. We can win this game. And then you go out there, and whether you don't execute and get a good quality shot or whether you miss a box out or you go for a steal and you miss it, and the other team goes down in transition. We haven't seen a lot of that stuff happen with this start. And I'm not going to blame it on, you know, any one group of guys who were on the floor or anything like that. It was just, you know, you weren't sharp, both mentally and physically. And then on the other side of the coin, those two young teams, they got some athletes, and they came at you, and they did a quality job.
Yeah, the way you explain it there, I definitely kind of tend to agree with you with respect to the San Antonio game. I'm not as sure with the Brooklyn game. It wasn't something that came to my mind. But let's start with that Nets game, because points off turnovers 26-12, and Golden State only turned it over 13 times. And we talk about live ball turnovers, and this might not be the exact direct correlation, but if you look at steals, the Nets had six steals out of the 13 turnovers. So six out of the 13 live ball turnovers right there. And that, I mean, that's not an egregious number of live ball turnovers. The Nets capitalized basically every time Golden State turned it over.
So now it might be a pass from a wing up to the top to a trailer or a big up there to swing the ball. He misses it. Now you don't have good balance getting back on transition. And in the other side of the coin, the Nets are going down, and they got the ball in the middle, and they got two shooters on each wing. And then you're getting back in transition, and maybe you don't match up great, and you don't find the best shooter, and all of a sudden they've got an open three. And I hate to say it, but those things do happen, and you can show them on film. And It's tough. I look at, you know, Jody Fernandez. He gets this job having been with Mike Brown up there in Sacramento, and I like how hard his guys are playing. You've got a couple guys there that are enigmas in Cam Thomas and Schroeder. You know, some days it's sunny, some days it's very cloudy with both of them. And they played quality basketball. And you look down there in San Antonio, and we can't even put into words what Wembanyama is doing. But boy, I'm I'm from Massachusetts, and I'm really high on this young kid down there that they drafted, the kid Castle out of UConn. I think that kid's really got a bright, bright future. So they just got caught. And, you know, it's a lot of points. But, I'm not going to get in a panic mode, that's for sure. It's a shame to lose them because you're rolling along so good. But, Kev, we're going to talk some more tonight. I'm just in amazement of the Western Conference.
Yes.
I really am. My gosh. Hey, you could be three, and a blink of an eye, you could be down to 12. This thing is going to be an amazing season. It really, really is. There's only a couple teams in Portland and Utah that I think are, you know, just going to plan for the future.
Yeah, we'll talk about the gauntlet that the Warriors are going to face coming up starting tomorrow with the Oklahoma City Thunder later on in the show. And again, if you want to hit us up, 888-957-9570 if you want to talk Golden State shooty hoop. But the Warriors, Sane, are coming off a 2-3 stretch that had some very winnable games on it, and just evidenced by the last two games. Now, I didn't think they were going to go 5-0 in this recent stretch, but I thought 4-1 was very doable, especially since they had a 17-point third-quarter lead late against the Spurs and an 18-point third-quarter lead against the Brooklyn Nets. And to me, these are two different teams, but it was kind of reminiscent of their seven-game homestand in December and January last year, where you looked at it and like, yeah, there was a couple of good teams, but there was the Toronto Raptors, there's the Detroit Pistons, there were some really winnable games on there, and they went 2-5. And that kind of put them behind the eight ball for the next couple of months, and they were kind of playing catch-up the rest of the way and really had to finish strong to get themselves in a position to try to get out of the 9-10 game, which they eventually didn't, obviously. And the reason why I'm a little concerned is because – look at the schedule coming up that we are going to talk about. You wanted to bank as many wins as possible, and you kind of left two on the table.
Now, if you talk to the players, some of them might know the next couple opponents, whether there's a road trip coming up or who they're playing. They're not looking at that thing in depth. But gosh darn it, coaches, you know, they're you sit there and say, oh, like pencil, well, we got a great chance to get that one. Okay, we can get this one. These last two you talked about were up there on the board that you're saying you can get these wins. And your point is well taken that some of these teams coming up, starting with OKC, they're quality teams. And you got to bring your A game, and not for 24 minutes, but 48 minutes. And, you know, it's a concern. And you see this during the course of the season. You come out and you play pretty darn well for the whole half, and you really establish a lead. You're playing hard. You're rebounding. You're defending. You're just doing a lot of good things. And then you come out at the third quarter, and a couple things happen, and bada bing, bada boom, and all the momentum is gone. And that happens, and that's where you need your vets really to step up. And you know, your defined veterans to me are Draymond and Steph, and beyond that, you're playing a lot of guys that, you know, are solid NBA players, but I don't think they're going to say they're upper echelon, and you're just going to put it in their hands and rectify your problems.
Yeah, so let's start with Steph and Draymond on the Warriors' personnel side of things with respect to this Brooklyn game, because they were both held under 30 minutes by design. Look, Steve Kerr said after the game he doesn't want to play Steph more than eight straight minutes to close out the game, so he has some juice at the end of the game. This is also the second straight game where they were playing their third game in 4 days. It was their fourth and sixth. Of course, they had the back-to-back on the road, New Orleans Sunday, Friday, San Antonio Saturday, and then Brooklyn Monday. But but it was 86-77 when Steph subbed out at the 4:33 mark of the third. Now, the slide had already started. They were up 18. It was a 9-0 run. Steph subs out, returned to the 7:29 mark of the fourth, and Golden State was down 101-97. You're only down four. You got 7.5 minutes to go. But by that point, you talk about Uncle Mo saying Uncle Mo was on the side of Brooklyn.
Yeah, and listen, I applaud Steve and the staff. And you sit down with your veteran players and you talk about, you know, how they're going to be used and maybe are they playing the whole first quarter or are they coming out at the seven mark and what's it look like, you know, starting the first, second half and that kind of thing. And I think they're in a comfort level with both guys. And I think it's a smart move. I applaud what's going on with the team. We kid about strength in numbers, but you know, this team, you know, a lot of teams don't have the depth that this team has. I like to look at box scores. I look at games where benches score 7, 10 points. You know, a classic example of that with Monk out has been Sacramento. Their starting five has been playing really well, and they just haven't gotten any production off their bench. Now Monk is back, but you know, they lose again last night. And that's the positive. Now, it's a shame to lose Melton because I think he just, you know, you put the puzzle together, Kevin. I think he just fit. And now you're seeing, you know, you're starting Waters. And now you're looking at Buddy Hield. And, you know, is he going to be consistent? And then you're looking at the other young guys and how they're going to do. And, of course, Kuminga missed a couple games. And I think a positive has been Wiggins. And, you know, you would have liked to see maybe a better second half. But, you know, it's when you evaluate your team, you're looking at where we're going here. You know, how are we collectively defensively as a group? But then where are we offensively? Where can we go here when we need a good shot or a basket? And some of that's still to be determined. It's still early.
Join us at Chase Center on December 20th for the Invisalign Bay Area Women's Classic. Don't miss Stanford Women's Basketball versus Ohio State at 5:30 p.m. And then UCLA, who just knocked off the number one team of the country, South Carolina, now they're number one against Creighton at 8 p.m. Get your tickets now at ChaseCenter.com. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll do our ticket giveaway. We'll talk about the loss to San Antonio, a little more about D'Anthony Melton being out for the season, and much more right here on 95.7 The Game.
We've tended to our wounds.
Just a flesh wound.
Look, stop that!
Chicken!
What are you gonna do, bleed on me?
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to Warriors Roundtable. It is time to give away those tickets to an upcoming Warriors game. So call the contest line at 415-523-4652. Again, that contest line, 415-523-4652. And if you are caller number 7, you will get a pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors game. We'll announce the winner later on in the show, and we will be doing this all year long for our Warriors Roundtable ticket giveaway. Kevin Anna, Gary St. Jean with you. Let's go back to the Brooklyn Nets loss last night. Moses Moody was fantastic in the first half, 6 of 7, 15 points. Only got up one shot in the second half. Saint, he played 8 minutes and 41 seconds the first half, 7:26 in the second half. I mean, that's not a huge difference in playing time. Would you have played him more? What do you see as being the difference there? Did just the Nets just kind of key on him a little bit better?
Well, if anything there, you're looking for Draymond or Steph, who are just off the charts basketball IQ, to know that they've got a guy with a hot hand. And find him early in the quarter. You know, get him coming off of Davis or Looney on a screen, or get him in a drift position on dribble penetration. Let him set a back pick and pop, you know, because he had a really good groove going. And that's too bad that he didn't get it going in the second half. And, yeah, in hindsight, you can say to yourself, geez, maybe we should have went to him a little bit more. But I'm really optimistic about that young guy. I just think he's got a bright future. I think as we go on with the season, he's going to cement himself in the rotation. And I think he's going to just play more and more minutes because, you know, if you're a coach, You're looking at this and saying, well, on Tuesdays he gives me this, but on Thursdays he gives me this, and then on Saturdays he might take the game off. You're looking for consistency with young guys. He's really starting to show that. And I'm talking about not just on the perimeter with threes or long twos, but I'm seeing him confident, putting the ball on the floor, going to the hoop. I think he's a solid team defender, and I just think there's a bright upside there.
Yeah, he's a great glue guy. He is averaging a half a point more per game this season than last year, and he's playing 0.6 minutes per game less than he did last year. So good numbers, and he's shooting a career-high 41% from downtown on the highest volume he has shot in his career. Now, on the Nets side of things, because we don't get a chance to see the Brooklyn Nets a ton up close and personal. That was their only trip to Chase. Of course, they're in the Eastern Conference. So Golden State plays them but twice a year. And you touched on Cam Thomas a little bit, Saint. But my word, that guy is a roller coaster of an experience. He had some shots that were, A, incredible, like, that was a great shot, this guy is an automatic bucket, and B, some shots where I was like, what the hell are you thinking?
You know what, Kev? You sound like a lot of NBA guys, because that's the MO on this guy. You're looking at him, and he has one game where he just takes really good shots. He's locked in. He's focused. He's not a detriment on defense. And you're saying, God, this guy's going to get a big contract. Then the next night, they're playing in Brooklyn. And he's probably in Queens or Far Rockaway. That guy there, he's an enigma. And that's the reason why he hasn't been given a big contract, because you're just not sure what you're going to get from the guy. And there's a lot of talent there.
Yeah, I mean, he's averaging almost 24, about 24 and a half points per game in year four. Far Rockaway, shout out Stack Bundles, rest in peace. But Dennis Schroeder, another guy who, look, year 12, this is the third highest scoring average he's had in his career. Highest assists per game, highest steals per game. He cooked Golden State last night, 31 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, turned it over 3 times, 4 of 8 from deep, 10 of 18 from the field. This guy was really good in the Olympics. I had a chance to see Germany play France once or twice in Olympic tune-ups, and then they just killed them in the Olympics. But, I mean, this guy is playing the best basketball of his career in year 12.
Well, isn't it interesting that it's his contract year? And maybe there's just a little bit more focus. It is a nice thing that the coach sat you down and gave you the keys to the car. And he said, hey, you're driving the car here. The other guys are going to be in the passenger seats, but we're riding with you. And it's been a mutual admiration society between him and Fernandez. I am going to tell you, in the past, and we're talking about Thomas, when you talk about Schroeder, it's just inconsistency. We all remember when he was with the Lakers. You know, he had nights he looked terrific, and other nights, I don't know, where the heck was he? He in Burbank or up in Malibu or somewhere? He's another guy. You're just not sure. And you look at that guy and you're saying to yourself, gee, that's somebody, you know, everyone needs a good point guard. And he is doing a heck of a job. But, with the new collective bargain agreement, you are very, very tight with the dollars. You're just not throwing it out there. One of the teams that's going to have the most dollars projected this next season is the Nets. And he would be a guy that comes off. Now, would they find a money number that would work for them with him? Who knows? But give him credit. He's doing a heck of a job for him.
I mean, speaking of that unrestricted free agency status he's going to have, do you think he's a trade candidate in February if the Nets start to go sideways?
I do. And you're renting him. You're taking him for the rest of the year till April, and hopefully he continues to play like he's playing. But, you know, the scouting report on him is just tremendous inconsistency and a little bit emotional, plays it on the edge. And it'll be interesting to see if he can keep this up. The guy's doing a heck of a job. And, Kev, I don't think there's any debate. The Nets have been one of the surprise teams in the East. People had them down like we have Utah and Portland in the West. They had them way down. And they've they're doing a heck of a job.
Yeah, they're 8-10 with wins on back-to-back nights at Sacramento and at Golden State. They played Boston tough. They played Cleveland tough. Jordy Fernandez is doing a heck of a job. Former G League head coach of the Canton Charge back in the day. So this is probably 8-9 years ago now. So really good to see Jordy have success early on in his career. By the way, we do have a winner for our Warriors Roundtable ticket giveaway. It's Deanna in San Jose. So congratulations to Deanna in San Jose. She has just secured tickets to an upcoming Warriors game. Again, we will be doing this all year long for our Warriors Roundtable ticket giveaway, giving up a pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors game each week right here on Warriors Roundtable. Let's switch gears and go back to the San Antonio game, because to me, the game completely flipped. And when you talk about bad bounces and stuff for the Warriors, I think this game flipped on a bad bounce, though one that shouldn't have been a bad bounce. Buddy Hield's wide-open miss layup. The Warriors were up 81-64 with a minute 20 to go. They would have been up 19 with inside 90 seconds to go, third quarter. Next possession, San Antonio gets a layup off a couple of offensive rebounds. They finish the quarter on a 7-0 run, so to cut it to 10. And then, of course, in the fourth quarter, it just gets completely out of whack. Warriors shoot 21%. They turn it over four times, give up 52% shooting. But sometimes there's just these little plays and games that stick out to you. And I had frustratingly found out the end of this game, because I was the result of this game, I was broadcasting a Santa Cruz Warriors game, watched us lose the Salt Lake City Stars by 33. So that wasn't a fun one to call. And so I'm coming down, and like someone told me on Twitter that the Warriors lost. So I'm pissed off. I'm like, oh, I gotta sit through an hour and 20 minutes knowing that the Warriors lose this game. And I'm like, how do they lose this game? And then Buddy Hield misses the layup. Not to put it all in one play, but that felt like a huge inflection point to me.
Well, I love the way you magnified your point. It's well taken, and there's certain plays in games where you just go, gosh darn it, you know, as Chick Hearn would say, the Jell-O's jiggling and all that kind of stuff, it's in the refrigerator or whatever, and we're all set to have dessert or whatever, and bang, the juice goes out. And, that was a bad miss.
Yeah, I do want to say something, though. To play devil's advocate here, we talk about the Warriors blowing two big leads. Like, a 17-point lead and an 18-point lead ain't what it used to be.
No.
Right? Like, with teams shooting 40 to 45 threes a game, look, I'm watching Milwaukee, Miami in the background. The Bucks were up 22 in the third quarter, and they are currently leading by four with 10:30 to go in the game. Like, these leads just, they don't mean much. So, like, you can say, oh, yeah, the Warriors blew a 17-point lead. And, yes, the Warriors should have beat the Brooklyn Nets. They should have beat the San Antonio Spurs. But we've seen this time and time again. We just kind of got to redefine what is an insurmountable lead.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. When you were up 20 in the third or early fourth, you're saying, geez, this is good. When I can get the subs in there now and give some guys some rest. And now, it's so hard, Kev. The game is so fast-paced, and it's spread out. And in transition, it's hard to find guys. And, you know, a simple thing that's kept track of really well in the NBA is shot contestment. And are you able to get out there and contest the three? Are you making them take the three off the bounce versus the drift? And are they getting to their sweet spots that they love to be? There's great statistical stuff on that, because to your point, you're right. Guys can just turn it around and it just, and again, that's momentum. You see three or four of those go in, and you're like, oh, boy, here we go. And it's hard to take the wind out of the sail.
Looking for the perfect holiday gift for the young aspiring basketball player? Warriors Basketball Academy, powered by Rakuten, is hosting camp sessions throughout the Bay Area this winter. Visit gswacademy.com to register today. And you know, a guy that would have helped kind of – weather the storm in that game, I think, would have been Jonathan Kuminga. Obviously, De'Anthony Melton would have helped, but Jonathan Kuminga was sick. Now, Steve Kerr was on with Mark Grandy, Lorenzo Neal, and Jake Hutchinson, and in that interview said Jonathan Kuminga practiced today and thinks that he will be able to play tomorrow against the Thunder, which would be huge. But that was another game, back end of a back-to-back, where you could have used some young legs.
Well, I love the way Wiggins is taking it off the bounce now and getting in the paint all the way to the rim. For this portion of the season, I think Kuminga's been the best on the team. You can't have enough guys that are attacking off the bounce, getting in the paint, or slashing without the ball to get the ball on a pass from wing or from inside out. Those two guys that's been my mantra. I think they're that important to this team. And to get him back, he's a key piece. It's just the way he plays. And when you look, when you got some guys out there that maybe more defined as spot-up shooters, these two guys can get you to the rim. And I think it's really important that he comes back soon.
It really is, and hopefully he will indeed be good to go tomorrow, like Steve Kerr told Mark O'Neal and Jake Hutchinson earlier on today here on 95.7 The Game. I want to get your take on Victor Wembanyama and Stephon Castle. Those two rescued the game for San Antonio. I mean, Wemby, let's start with him. Kind of the one big thing about him this year, maybe the stats haven't gone up huge, but I mean, he's still putting up like 22, nearly 11 rebounds, close to 4 blocks per game. But the one that really sticks out, 9 three-point attempts per game, and he had put up 13 against Golden State. And I listen to some podcasts. I listen to Hoop Collective, hosted by Brian Windhorst, usually has Tim Bontemps and Tim McMahon of ESPN on there. Great podcast, but they bemoan the fact, or at least some of those guys on that podcast bemoan the fact that Wemby is shooting 9 threes a game. What do you think, Saint?
Well, those guys are a heck of a lot younger than me. And just imagine how I feel. I just think it's – but who the heck are you and me to be questioning Pop's philosophy as to how they're going to play down there? It's today's game. That's what the great fives are doing. But – gosh, I'd like to see him down in the paint for some mid-range and maybe some box play where they have to double-team him, and his beautiful vision and passing skills. He hits cutters or hits guys in the drift position for threes. I just think there's more to his game that you can get to help you win. But I'm just amazed at the guy. He's blocking shots like – he's like a condor or something. He just sticks out one of those wings, and, he's 6 feet away, and he's blocking shots, or he's grasping rebounds from over your head. I'm watching guys in the league stand next to him. Like, Looney and Davis are good-sized guys. He's making them look like six-footers. It's just amazing, the skill package and the physical skills that he has. Wow, it's really special.
No, it really is. Again, an 8-foot wingspan that he has.
8 foot.
And it's been crazy. I was just looking back through a conversation I had with former Warrior Mikel Gladness on Facebook. He was former Santa Cruz Warrior, former Golden State Warrior. And I thought that maybe Mikel Gladness had an 8-foot wingspan, but he had a 7-8 wingspan. 8-foot wingspan.
That's huge.
So I've never heard that before. And that obviously helps. And I think some people are saying, well, Wemby should just dunk it every time. Well, it's not like he can just post up any center in the league, because he has such a high center of gravity, right? Yep. Like at 7'4", 7'5", whatever his true height is now, he might have grown a little bit. Like, and he doesn't have the strength, and he'll tell you that he's not trying to get stronger. He's not going to lift weights for the sole purpose of putting on bulk. So there's kind of a little given pool there, but he's still only 20 years old. Like, he is going to develop man strength within the next few years, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. It wasn't all bad for the San Antonio game, because From my perspective, I saw my favorite play of the season in this game, and I sent this over to Saint to watch because I wanted to get his breakdown on this. It's 57-51 in the third quarter, early third quarter. Draymond Green's bringing the ball up, and he just throws a little pass to Trayce Jackson-Davis, top of the key, who gives it right back to him. And to me, this created great ball movement. It later led to a Trayce Jackson-Davis dunk slash layup. But it wasn't exactly a pass that needed to be made in the grand scheme of things from Draymond to Trayce, but it just created energy, and it just created ball movement, man movement, and it led to a layup, and I sent you the clip, and I just wanted to get your take on this play because I think this is something that if your offense is stagnant, you could just do this little hand back, and it just forces people to move.
Well, you picked a beautiful play, Kev. I'm just going to share that with you. And from a coach's standpoint, you hit on it. The people movement, ball movement, great spacing. It's early offense, and this is what makes the Warriors unique. They're running point power forward. Now, what the heck do I mean by that? Instead of putting the ball in the point guard's hand, the one man, you give it to Draymond to bring up, and he's going up the court, and you've got guys in each corner and then a guy over on the left wing, and your big that entered the ball or rebounded the ball is your what we call the second trailer. And in that case, it was Davis. Now, Draymond has such a feel for the game. And you could tell that this is something that they've added, or it, maybe it was Terry Stotts or something that I haven't seen him use it a lot. So it was a flip from Draymond, extended right elbow, to about the 20-foot marker to Davis. Well, then Davis gives him right back to him. And in the meantime, Steph, who was on the left side, cut down to the right box. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to go all the way back to my old days with Mully. You let a great shooter get down on the box. Boy, you're worried. Because now, how is he going to get out of there? Is he going to get a pin down? Is he going to backpick? And Steph has taken pages out of Mully's book. When he gets down there, he sees Davis. And if Davis just kind of hangs out there, it tells him that he's going to backpick. But if Davis keeps walking down, the deeper the screen, the shorter the shot. So now Steph's waiting. He's dancing with his defender. And he uses Davis, and he comes up to the right free throw line extended, catches and knocks it in. And it just looked beautiful because of the spacing, the timing, the ball movement. But again, you've got two guys that are Hall of Famers that are going to have statues, and they've been playing with each other for 12 or 13 years, and they can just look at each other and know what the basketball play is dictated. And it was a great example. It's something you wish you could just show because it's just beautiful basketball.
Yeah, it really was a thing to behold. It immediately caught my attention. It felt like just an avalanche of motion there. Yeah. That was just
and it was deception too, Kev. You're making a good point because the ball's on the right elbow. He throws it up to the top. So normally, when you throw the ball at the top, you're changing sides. So you're going from the right to the left side. But that's not the case. All of a sudden, Draymond goes up there. He gets it back. Davis takes his place. And you kind of fall for the trap because you think it's going over to the left side. But all of a sudden, it's coming back. And isn't it amazing the way the ball just finds Steph Curry?
Yes, it seems to find Steph as it should more often than not. Tricky, 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 those Golden State Warriors. Well, moving on to some more unfortunate news, and this was announced literally the day after our last Warriors roundtable, so it is a bit of old news now, but De'Anthony Melton, out for the season, is going to get surgery on that ACL so he doesn't suffer a fully torn ACL. This is a major loss for Golden State. I mean, the Dubs have felt kind of one player short the last couple of games to shore things up. He really could have helped. And I know he only played six games, Gary, but he was really finding a groove. His last couple of starts made it seem like Golden State had found their starting lineup for the rest of the season, and unfortunately you have to crumple up the paper on that.
Well, I know you were high on him, and my son Greg, who's down there with the Lakers, said, Dad, this guy is a two-way player. Now, what do we mean by that? Klay Thompson was a two-way player. Really a heck of a defender who could guard different positions, sizes. And then on offense, very comfortable handling the ball up top when he's open. You know, high 30s in terms of threes. I really like him on the defensive end as well as rebounding. So I think it's a big loss because I thought he was a perfect fit for this team. So, you know, now you go into your bag and you say, well, what are we going to do now in that spot? And I don't think anything's defined yet. For right now, your guy, Waters, is doing a heck of a job. But is that the guy as it keeps moving along? Will you go back to starting Kuminga? Maybe not, because he's been playing so well off the bench. And then, you know, maybe Podzimski comes back because he's starting to play a little bit better. So it's a key guy, and I think it's a void. And now everybody else has to pick it up a little bit.
And there are some interesting things that Golden State can do with Melton, even though he's not playing, because he signed a one-year contract. So you could use his contract as a trade chip. Now, obviously, you would have to attach other things to it, because no one's going to take an injured D'Anthony Melton with nothing else attached. But he's a guy that they've said they could potentially bring back in free agency. Do you just keep him around because he is such a good locker room fit? They have loved him in the locker room, and that's not nothing there. Obviously, I personally would love to see him back in Golden State next year on another contract, when hopefully he can stay more healthy than he's been able to the last couple of seasons.
Well, you feel for the guy, Kev, because, you know, even last year in Philly, he had some health issues, and then he missed some games early with the low back issues. But, you know, this time off really could help him. Maybe there was, you know, some strengthening he can do in those certain areas that need some help. And I totally agree with you that he's not that old. I mean, he's a nice piece. I think it was a really, really good signing. And in today's world, you know, in the old days when it was Bernard King or, you know, Wilkins from Atlanta, guys that had those injuries, they were really, really, you know, going down on the spiral. It was tough to recover from. Nowadays, these guys, the surgery has been, you know, just it goes so well, and the therapy and all that. So, you know, hopefully he can make a great recovery.
Yeah, he is only 26 years old.
Yeah.
And so, look, he has his prime years still ahead of him. And this was year 7 in the NBA. He's played in 356 games over the course of his career. So he's a vet. He's a young veteran. This is a guy that I think would be great to have in the locker room. Golden State loved him this year. For the short time they did have him, he was averaging a point every other minute, which is a really good clip, 10.3 points in 20.2 minutes per game, and was starting to really shoot it well, 37%. So hopefully that's a guy that will be back in a Warrior uniform, but hopefully first off he'll be able to get completely healthy. Tis the season to celebrate the Warriors with the Holiday Hoops mini plans presented by Rakuten. Rakuten is giving members 20% cash back with the purchase of any of the three available plans. Visit warriors.com/holidayhoops to purchase now. Terms and conditions apply. Well, we're rounding out the show here on Warriors Roundtable. Got one more segment. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls. Hit us up, 888-957-9570. If you want to talk about your level of concern for the Warriors going into this big stretch of big Titans from the Western Conference, we'll break down what the Warriors have coming up on their schedule right after this break, right here on 95.7 The Game.
Sir Kevin and Sir Gary welcome you back to the Warriors Roundtable.
Launches a three. Gucci!
On the Valiant 95.7 The Game.
Back here on Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game, taking your calls for the next 12 minutes or so, 888-957-9570. Kevin Dana, Gary St. Jean with you, rounding out the show the next 12 minutes or so. And let's first, before we get into what's coming up, we should mention the Warriors have clinched a spot in the quarterfinals of the Emirates NBA Cup. They are 3-0 with They have clinched Group C. They got one game remaining at Denver, which will be a tough game, but they are on to the quarterfinals, and they'll play either December 10th or 11th against someone else from the Western Conference with a chance to go to Vegas on the line for the semifinals and the finals. And look, this is a new thing. This is year two of the Emirates NBA Cup, first year with this sponsorship. It's produced some really exciting games. Saint, now that we're in year two of it, what do you think of A, the Warriors make it to the quarterfinals, and B, what do you like or not like about the NBA Cup?
Well, the thing I like the most are the floors. I love the designs. I think it's cool. I catch different games, and I'm saying, ooh, I like that one. Ah, I don't care for that one. That's not too cool. Like, somebody's got a gray floor. There's no pizzazz to that. I like the Boston, all the green, and
yes,
somebody else was all blue. You know, I just think subconsciously, because there's something to play for, I see guys notching it up versus the regular season. The intensity, the effort level is up a level. And I really like it. Now, 3-0, great job. And you noted that they'll be moving on to the quarterfinals. They'll be playing somebody good in that game. And I think it's going to be a road game, maybe Memphis or Minnesota. And but to their credit, I think they're the first one in the league to get to the quarterfinals. And I think that's a real positive achievement. And, you know, they hopefully can keep this thing going. I think it's cool.
Yeah, no, it has been fun to watch. You are right, Gary. They are the only team to clinch a spot in the quarterfinals thus far. So that was a nice win against New Orleans to clinch Group C, to clinch a spot in the Emirates NBA Cup quarterfinals. And that made the Warriors 12-3. They've lost two straight, and this is what's coming up. Let's take a look at our upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster. Unfortunately, Saint, we do. Let's let's kneel at the altar of our corporate overlords and tell you what's coming up next. Tomorrow against the Oklahoma City Thunder, 6:30 p.m. airtime, 7 p.m. tip time with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the call. Then Saturday in Phoenix against the Suns, Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal are making their return tonight against the L.A. Lakers. That'll be 5:30 p.m. airtime, 6 p.m. tip time. Tim Roy on the call for you there. Tuesday, December 3rd at Denver. That's the final group stage game of Group C. Of course, the Warriors have already clinched. That's 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time against the Denver Nuggets. Then Thursday at home against the Houston Rockets, who've gotten off to a really good start. 6:30 airtime, 7 p.m. tip time. That is Jewish Heritage Night. Then the back end of a back-to-back against the Minnesota Timberwolves on Local Heroes Night, Friday, December 6th. 6:30 airtime, 7 p.m. tip time. And then, oh, yeah, the very next day or the very next game is also against Minnesota on Sunday, December 8th. Then they have that NBA Cup quarterfinal game December 10th or 11th, which is going to be against a really good team. And then they got Memphis and Minnesota after the NBA Cup.
Whew.
That's a lot.
Wow. Don't tell the coaches that. Let them just get this next one against OKC, because that's a tall ladder right there to climb. But you know what? When, you know, we've couple setbacks here, but this team has really, really played well, and I think they're up to the challenge of playing these good teams. And you find out a little bit more about yourself, where you need a little bit of work, but what you're doing really well. And this team, even though a couple setbacks, I just like the chemistry, the culture of the team. They're really together. I think they're pulling for each other. They're gritty. They're really tough and aggressive on the defensive end. They're willing passers on the offensive end. I think Draymond maybe didn't have his best game the last game, but I think overall he's come into camp in great shape with a great mindset. And, you know, they're being careful with Steph, but he's still there to take over the game, and you love that about him. And, you know, I think we've talked a little, maybe too much about Kuminga and Wiggins. I'm sensing that Podzimski might be starting to feel good about where he's at shooting the ball, because I am not that worried about that with him. Just do what you do And that's playing good defense, taking charges, rebounding the basketball, facilitator on offense. And, you know, the other guys, I love what the centers have done. When you look at the minutes that Looney and Davis have given you, boy, oh boy, they've been good. So there's optimism. You can compete with these teams.
Yeah, Bob Fitzgerald has called the two centers Kevon Jackson Looney. I like the name. Yeah, I think it's pretty apropos. But to your point about Pajemski, I think he's really had a nice impact in two of the last three games. He hit a three on Monday. Look, he is not going to live at 20% from three the entire season. That number is going to go up. He took his sixth charge of the season, which is top five in the NBA, starting to play with a little more swagger. And Draymond Green had a really good, like, kind of five-minute soliloquy or monologue, whichever the right $6 word applies, after, I believe it was the Wednesday game last week, about how Brandon Pajemski just needs to kind of focus on the things that he can do well, because if you focus on the score and if you live and die on every shot you take, you're just putting so much pressure on yourself. And it looks like perhaps Brandon has taken heed to that advice. So the shooting percentage hasn't been great from three since that comment from Draymond. He has hit a couple of threes since.
Well, that's the beauty of having these veteran guys who, you know, they've seen it all. And they can really, you know, hug these young guys and, you know, share with them some really points of experience, you know, how to handle situations. And you can feel that's being done. I even watched when Pajemski was walking back to the bench and he missed one. And then he made one. I watched Steph, who was on the bench, and how he reacted to him and how he pointed at him and gave him a thumbs up or a little dap on the shoulder and that kind of thing. That means a lot with a team. And he's a guy that, you know, you just he wins. The guy can help you win basketball games. That's what you like about him.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're 13-4. They're coming off a 21-point beatdown of Sacramento in the 9-1-6 last night. And Isaiah Hartenstein's back. They don't have, obviously, Chet Holmgren, but Hartenstein in two games, 16 points, 12 rebounds per game. He has been really good. Jalen Williams has taken another step, 22 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. And then, of course, oh, yeah, they have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's probably going to be a top-five MVP candidate again, 29 points, 5 rebounds, 6.5 assists. What concerns you most with the Thunder?
Well, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he can get you 30, and you might even think that he had 10 or 12. That's how smooth he is. Boy, oh boy. He just, there's no wasted motion. The guy just gets to places that he wants to get to, and he just excels. Terrific leadership by example. And I remember a couple years ago you telling me a lot about Williams from Santa Clara. Gosh, this guy, he did some work this summer. He's a better player. He's off to a heck of a start. And there's a lot to like about his game. He's a beautiful fit with Alexander. I love them getting Hartenstein. I think that's just an awesome get. And he puts numbers up there, and he helps you win. He understands how to play. They got Caruso from Chicago. It's a really, really good team. Dort can get you 2 points. But yet you're going to look, and he's going to be a plus 15 because he's one of the best defenders we have in the entire league. So it's a team, you know, that you'd say, "Oh my gosh, we lose Holmgren. What are we going to do? We got to make a big trade and all that kind of thing." You know, Sam Presti's from. I always talk about this. He's from my wife MJ's hometown, Concord, Mass, just outside of Boston, the Battle of the British, and. I met him, and I told him, I said, "I know who your biology teacher was." And he looks at me, and he says, "Coach, are you crazy?" I said, "Well, a lot of people have told me that." So I told him about MJ, and this guy, Al Robichaud, was the football coach, was his teacher. That guy looks like a professor. Have you ever met him?
I have not met him.
Kev, he is so sharp, and he sets the tone for the whole place. Now, I must share with you, you've always told me how much you like Dagnall.
Yeah, I love Mark. He's awesome.
Well, now you know where he's from?
He's from Leominster, Massachusetts, right?
Leominster, Massachusetts, which is just above Worcester, where Holy Cross was, where Bob Cousy and Tommy Heinsohn played. So do you think I like that team? Absolutely, because they got Massachusetts roots. But at the end of the day, they're to me, if Holmgren can come back and everything is healthy and all that, they're to me, they're the best team.
Yeah, I in the West or overall?
No, in the West. In the West. Okay. I'm still in amazement what's going on in Cleveland and that we didn't get a chance to talk about your guy. Is it Jensen? Who's the guy who was with the Warriors that's with Cleveland now who's killing it?
Oh, Ty Jerome and George
Jerome.
Yeah,
that guy there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to – if I was still the GM, I'd hire you as a scout because you told me that you really liked that guy. And that guy gets healthy after a brutal ankle injury here. And that's a smart guy. Kenny looks at this guy and he's listening to the G League guys, probably listening to you, watches him play some. And he says, hey, let's bring that guy into camp. Well, the next thing you know, he's had back-to-back 20-point games and guys love him.
I can assure you that Kenny Atkinson took zero advice from one Kevin Dana. He ain't going to listen to me. I wouldn't listen to me for G League advice, but I do watch a lot of players. But that'll do it for Warriors Roundtable, folks. A big thank you to Lucas Alexander behind the glasses. Trojans got a big game against Notre Dame. Congrats to the Trojans on their win over UCLA. A big thank you to R.C. Davis and Marika Cleto on the Warriors side of things. For Gary St. Jean, I'm Kevin Dana saying sayonara. We will talk to you next week right here on 95.7 The Game.